So much is happening, and it is of biblical proportion.
Definitely, you guys know we're in the last days, and these things are close upon us. The actors are in place. After 2,500 years of all these prophecies, whether it's Jeremiah or Ezekiel, we live in a time where things are coalescing, things are converging, right? For all these things to happen, Israel had to be back in the country, as a country and a nation again.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our program, Jan Markell talks to Pastor Brandon Holdhouse about current issues that have eternal consequences. It is later than it's ever been. In part two of our programming, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to Pastor Mark Henry about more issues of urgency. We can't tell the players without a scorecard. Here is today's programming.
Ezekiel chapter 38. I'm not saying that what we're watching on the news right now in the Middle East is the Ezekiel 38 battle, but I am saying that the players that are in place have never been in place like they are now, ever, in human history. As of today, when you woke up, you are closer into Bible prophecy than at any other time of your life. I don't know if you appreciate that or not, but you ought to just kind of take a deep breath and receive that from the Lord, that what is going on in our world around us, you and I have never been this late down the prophetic road before. And by the way, tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to be further down that road. These are remarkable times, people, and I hope that today makes some sense. But I want you to be very keenly aware that at this hour, right now, in this first service, the dynamics are changing so quickly. And the setup that is taking place in the world, in the Middle East, there's a geopolitical shift that's happening, and you are in the front row seat of world history right now.
Thank you, Jack Hibbs, for that insight. I really appreciate it. He went on to say in that clip much later that it's never been this late in history, and I certainly concur with that. It's been an amazing week of events. Number one, we've got a Middle East war raging, raining death and destruction on both sides. Secondly, I live in the state of Minnesota, and we experienced a political assassination a week ago. When you hear news out of my home state of Minnesota, sadly, it's never good. Didn't used to be this way. Number three, we've got riots and demonstrations that are tearing up cities. In other words, we've got a lot of rampant lawlessness going on, and we've got actually many weeks of long, hot summer left. So Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, that comes right out of the book of Numbers, over a week ago, and faced with this existential threat from the Islamic Republic of Iran, Israel, quite frankly, acted in self-defense. Prime Minister Netanyahu stated, quote, 80 years ago, the Jewish people were the victims of a Holocaust perpetrated by the Nazi regime. Today, the Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear Holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime. Now, I saw a great article at Prophecy News Watch, and it talks about how Israel's Mossad pulled off a masterstroke inside Iran. I can certainly read a paragraph, and they say this: the mission known internally as Operation Rising Lion involved months of meticulous planning, pre-positioning of lethal resources inside Iran itself. Unlike previous strikes launched from the outside, this operation marked a dramatic evolution in Israel's approach, infiltrating Iran's heartland with secret drones and smuggled precision-guided missiles to strike critical nuclear military sites with unprecedented effectiveness. The outcome was devastating. Iran's air defenses crippled, nuclear enrichment facilities seriously crippled, and some of the regime's highest-ranking commanders wiped out in one fell swoop. Mossad's covert agents began their infiltration months ago, secretly planting explosive drones and weapons inside of Iran. These were not mere acts of sabotage, but carefully orchestrated placements to enable surgical strikes from within. Well, all of that probably only Israel could do. Psalm 121, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. My guest for this segment, Pastor Brandon Holdhouse, leads Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California. You hear him frequently on this programming, and he's been to my conference activity in the Twin Cities on multiple occasions. Brandon, welcome back.
Jan, thanks for having me.
You know, after that introduction, and I'm heading back to Israel in just a minute, but let me start with the unrest in our major hundreds of cities. And I heard you, this would have been maybe a week to 10 days ago, you believe they are trying to stoke a civil war via these demonstrations. Talk to me.
So what we have found out, just doing some investigation on these riots, they're not grassroots. Yes, there's a lot of people who are involved in it that we would call useful idiots, and that's not a derogatory term. It's just they don't know they're being used. And what we understand now, that there's a lot of big money, billionaires involved in this, funding the thing. And they're funding it through front groups like the Coalition of Humane Immigration Rights of Los Angeles. SEIU is involved. And then we find out the heiress of Walmart is funding some of this. And another individual by the name of Neville Roy Singham. He's a socialist supporter of Maoism, according to the New York Times, of all places, right? He's a billionaire, and he has made his billions by pushing Chinese propaganda worldwide. So he has financed the People's Forum, given it about $20 million. All three Singham finance organizations are heavily involved in the Columbia protests at University of Columbia with the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic rally. So what we start finding out is these organizations are actually funding it. When what we were able to pull up is we saw trucks pulling up to where the rioters were and handing out masks. And these masks are about $60 a pop. And this guy was delivering hundreds of these masks to rioters. The other thing about this guy that I mentioned, Neville Roy Singham, get this, he is married to Jody Evans, who's the founder of Code Pink. And so it's not me just mentioning this. There's a lot of other talking heads that are also saying, wait a second, this is not a grassroots movement. It's well-funded, well-coordinated by communists that are trying to undermine America, trying to undermine Israel. They hate Israel. And basically, it's really an attack on the West. But when I say it's an attack on the West, Jan, it is really an attack on the Judeo-Christian foundation of the West, which includes Israel. So it's very nefarious.
As you know, being from Minneapolis here, I watched some of this activity back in 2020, and we have sections of Minneapolis that were literally burned to the ground in 2020, the George Floyd ordeal back then. We'll never recover because of that kind of lawlessness. But there, I just think I said the key word. And that is the biblically referenced lawlessness. And when you abandon God, why not turn to violence, lawlessness, and wickedness?
Absolutely. And I think it's the signs of the times. And if we're good Bible prophecy students, this is a sign of the days of Noah. I mentioned something in my discussion a while back about psychopathic behavior. 3 to 4% of your population in any given country will be psychopaths. But the problem is with social media and the media is that psychopathic behavior is becoming normalized in our society to where, like you mentioned, the Minnesota representatives that were assassinated, and we're seeing like people burn down buildings, burn down cars. That's psychopathic behavior. I'm not saying they're psychopathic. I'm just saying they think that's the way to react. Like, for instance, psychopathic's behavior is all about power, and at the end of the game, killing is an option for them. We hear that from like the Ayatollahs in Iran. They want to wash the world in blood. Well, that's psychopathic. And so when we see people who want to kill Trump, and I played a whole list of things on one of my prophecy updates of people saying, yeah, it's time to kill Trump. Wait a second. That's psychopathic. We're in a civilized world and we don't kill our political opponents. We're now normalizing that killing is an option. Yeah. That's psychopathic, but it's also the days of Noah. We're seeing that worldwide.
But it's leading to the man of lawlessness and his kingdom, which will be empowered with lying signs and wonders. But again, people will accept his lawlessness because he's a supernatural being. They might not see his fact that he's supernatural, but he will be empowered by Satan.
Absolutely. And that's interesting that you're bringing that up about the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. What that means is that he achieves his position in a lawless way. This is going to sound bizarre, but even in Nazi Germany, Hitler was elected by the German people. But when you mention lawlessness associated to the Antichrist, it means that he achieves his power in lawless ways. And look, we already know that. Lawless ways means I steal, kill, and destroy, which sounds reminiscent of the person behind the man of lawlessness, which is Satan. And that's the idea that we're seeing is things are becoming Luciferian, satanic, and that becomes options for people. So you're definitely seeing the spirit of Antichrist run through all of the global institutions, whether that's the UN, whether that's education, whether that's media. Lawlessness is now the main player in people trying to achieve their ends. So for many people, it's the ends justifies the means.
Check out Pastor Brandon Holthouse's prophecy updates. You can learn more at rockharborchurch.net or tipofthespearministry.com. Brandon, I want to transition just a little bit here and play a little clip here. I want Amir Sarfati to introduce this next segment of our programming, which this terrible war going on in Israel. And this is not just a skirmish. This is not just a 1 or 2 day ordeal.
So unbelievable things are happening. It's biblical proportion. We are amazed that within 72 hours, the God, the Israeli Air Force, and the Mossad on the ground, the Israeli Air Force in the air, the Mossad on the ground, we brought Iran to its knees. And it's not going to be too long from now that Iran is either going to say, okay, let's stop and talk, or America is going to say to Iran, if you don't stop and talk, you're going to be completely gone. And we're about to see that now. If you're asking me, is Israel going to stop? We're not going to stop. We didn't start something like that just to stop right when we can actually finish the job. No, we're not going to stop. You don't let the monster stay alive and start plotting against you. That's why Hamas has to be gone, and that's why the nuclear program and the missile programs of the Ayatollahs that are solely against Israel, it's all about annihilating Israel. Those two programs have to be dismantled. As far as we're concerned, if those two programs are gone and that imminent threat is gone, we're okay. God is with us. Nikki Rassi, God is with us. And the Ayatollahs are embarrassed and they are humiliated to the point that their own people right now are criticizing them and are saying to them, why do we even lie to our people? People in Israel know more what's going on in Iran than the Iranian people. They sell them some fairy tales that they shut down some Israeli planes, they took captive some Israeli pilots, they show them AI-generated photos. They just load of crap on their sites and on their channels just because they don't know how to handle all of that. It's unbelievable.
Brandon Holthouse, I think what I've taken away, we've only been talking, you and I, less than 15 minutes, and I think it would be safe to say that what we're observing, at least in Israel at this point, is divinely orchestrated. Some of these things are miraculous. Amir highlighted that. Things that are happening are of biblical proportion. Give me your perspective.
I think God's hand is in all of this because military analysts are looking at Israel's attack on Iran as the most devastating attack in military history. I think there's some divine hand in that, obviously, because every time you look at Israel, how they fight, whether it's the Six-Day War, Yom Kippur, or 1948, it's always a miraculous thing of how they achieved victory. This is reshaping the Middle East. Yeah. And even Netanyahu has said that. But when you start going after Hamas and decimate them, decimate Hezbollah, and now they're going after the Houthis, and now Iran, which is the head of the snake, you are reshaping the Middle East. Now, what are we supposed to take about that? Hey, they needed to attack Iran. Iran was going to go nuclear. That's a threat not only to Israel, but that's a threat to the West. And we're dealing with the Ayatollahs. These guys mean business. When they say we want to destroy Israel and United States, that's what they mean. And so Israel had to do this. Now, here's the thing. Two things have developed out of this. It reshapes the Middle East, but it reshapes for retaliation and to where the stage gets set for that retaliation of one of the hooks in Gog's mouth of God bringing this
Gog and Magog invasion of Russia, Iran, Turkey to eventually attack Iran. And so, yes, this needed to happen, but it also sets the table for Gog of Magog, no doubt about that. The other thing in regards to Gog of Magog, the young lions of Tarshish that are non-interventionist, the recent things I've been hearing in conservative arenas from the Tucker Carlson types is, we don't need to be involved in the Middle East. Israel didn't have any right to go and attack Iran. We need to not intervene at all in what Israel is doing. And I'm hearing those words, and I'm like, is that also setting the stage for the young lions of Tarshish not to get involved in invasion that happens, predicted by Ezekiel? It seems like the table's getting set.
I'm so glad you raised those things, Brandon. The prophetic chess pieces are moving all over the chessboard right now, but this is not Ezekiel 38:39. It's setting the stage for sure, but this is not the battle, obviously.
Right. There's a lot of things that have to get set, but no doubt the players are already set, Jan. The alliance between Russia and Iran. Russia funds their missiles. It gives them weapons. And honestly, it's Russia that gives them the ability to be who they are. But when you take out their military installations, their nuclear program, they're going to call for Russia to help them. And then obviously they're allies with Turkey as well. And here's the commonality. None of them like Israel. Whether you're talking about Erdogan or Putin, they don't like Israel. And so these chess pieces that are put in place, you think about it, Jim. Ezekiel made this prophecy 2,500 years ago. And here we are in the front row seat watching the players get in place. In one sense, I'm not taking delight in it, but I'm also encouraged the fact that God is proving he's true to his word.
Thank you for saying that. And by the way, Israel is doing the entire world a favor if she's knocking out Iranian nuclear capability. One more comment, and that's Daniel Cohen from Real Life Network.
How did we reach this historic moment? The Islamic Republic of Iran's desire to wipe Israel off the map. It isn't a bug in the system, it's a feature. Let me explain. Since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, Iran's leaders have systematically vowed to accomplish this one genocidal goal. Ayatollah Khomeini called Israel a cancerous tumor and severed all ties. His successor, Ayatollah Khamenei, outlined a 9-point plan for Israel's elimination, declaring Israel won't exist in 25 years. Iran is 1,100 miles from Israel. The two nations don't share a border. Israel has never threatened Iran or the Iranian people. Yet killing what they call the little Satan, Israel, and later the big Satan, America, became their religious obsession. Here's the Supreme Leader saying the ultimate goal is the destruction of the United States in the name of Islam. The situation between America and Iran is this. When you chant death to America, it's not just a slogan, it's a policy.
So, Brandon, we're the big Satan. Israel's the little Satan.
Right. And that's what I hope everyone understands from this. When you are dealing with psychopaths like the Ayatollah and the Shiite religion wants to bring in the Mahdi, which really looks like our Antichrist, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the Antichrist is a Muslim. I'm not saying that. But they're wanting to bathe the world in blood to usher in their Islamic end times. This is not people that you can sit down and have tea and negotiate with because they want to kill themselves too. They get their 70 virgins if they kill themselves. This is not mutually assured destruction. So I hope people understand. People will question, why is Israel doing this? Why don't they try to have peace? They've been trying to have peace with Iran, but these people want to kill every Jew on the planet. And it's like they only know one thing then, power. It's strength through power in the Middle East. And that's the only thing the Ayatollahs respect. So people have to have a grasp of what is Israel dealing with. These are not people you can sit down and negotiate with. They want to kill you.
So I'm picking a sentence or two off of your website. I'm quoting you. The signs are clear, as in the days of Noah and Lot. Our culture is being handed over to depravity. But what should the church do in the face of growing darkness? Now, you don't answer that question, but I want to ask you that right now. What should the church do in light of we've had in my hometown an assassination attempt, which is nothing new in the 21st century? We've had our president twice. They've tried to take him out. but we've got this growing darkness. And I see that the church is playing a rather passive role. That's an understatement. You are a pastor. What do you think the church should do?
The church needs to get motivated to stop being silent and say, well, I'm just not interested in what's going on in the Middle East. I'm not interested in the LA riots or what's happening in Minnesota. The church has unfortunately buried their head in the sand. There's no moral clarity coming from the churches anymore. So the churches and Christians that I'm encouraging, start speaking out. Give people the right information. We're having a problem. And the problem is the social media and the media is controlling the propaganda. So we need the church to weigh in biblically on all these issues, whether you're dealing with Israel or Middle East, or we're dealing with the riots. Does most of the church realize this is not grassroots? This is communistic trying to overthrow America? I doubt it. Do they understand the intricacies of the Middle East? I doubt it, because they're not getting their information from the correct sources. Number one, the correct source is the Bible. That's going to tell you how to discern things. Jan, we're losing the fight on transgenderism. People think there's 52 genders. 54% of the church thinks gay marriage is okay. And why? Because the church is silent on all these issues. My admonition to everybody, as Christians or pastors, you have to voice the biblical opinion and counteract the lies.
Couldn't agree more, Brandon Holthaus. Learn more again, rockharborchurch.net, tipofthespearministry.com. Check out his prophecy updates. Brandon Holthaus, Olive Tree and your ministry has partnered in Israel for many, many months now, probably going on a year. We've got representatives in Israel, and we had Joel Martin Rishi and Gene DeYoung there the month of March with outreach efforts there. You're doing the same thing day in and day out. How can my listening audience help?
We have been inundated from Israel and our units that we support, and we're partnering with you. They're requesting help in this war. They have requested more helmets, more bulletproof vests, more night vision, and more drones. And all of this is to provide safety to the IDF soldiers. And that's one way you can weigh in on that. They can go to my website, rockharborchurch.net, go to the giving tab, pull down Bless Israel Fund, and you can give directly to that. And here's the other thing. It's not just supplying physically for protection. Our messianic contacts witness to them about Yeshua and tell them why we do what we do. And it's an opening that we have never seen before to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ.
So at Brandon's website, rockharborchurch.net, you'll find Bless Israel Fund at the Olive Tree Views website, Israel Project. Once you get to the donation section, that's at olivetreeviews.org. The other is rockharborchurch.net. Brandon, I'm down to just a few minutes. We have talked about some troubling things today. And if you and I were to reveal some of the stories behind what we're doing in Israel, that would be very encouraging. Why don't you share at least one of those kinds of stories?
With Israel being in this war that started on October 7th, it's been the longest war Israel's been in. But what it's doing is opening up many of the Jewish people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ like never before. Jan, we've been multiple times to Israel since October 7th, and we're talking to guys in the IDF, and they're asking questions. Why does the whole world hate us? Why is this happening to us? And then we lean in on that and say, well, the worldwide anti-Semitism is predicted. Let me show you where that's at. And Jan, it's opened their hearts. And so it's so encouraging, even though it's terrible to think that they're in a perpetual war. But God is using it to open their hearts to the gospel, because he wants everyone to be saved, Jew and Gentile. And he doesn't want them to go through the tribulation. And like Olivier Melnick, our mutual friend, says, Zechariah has percentage in Zechariah 13, but we can reduce the number of that percentage by getting the gospel to the Jewish people beforehand. And they're open to it now because of the war.
As you say, the Bible is pro-Israel. Now, not every church denomination believes that, which doesn't mean we're going to be quiet about it. All Israel is saved. Now, that doesn't mean every Jewish person comes to faith. But every Jewish person who survives the tribulation will see him whom they pierced and mourn for him and turn to Jesus. But they are God's people. He has a plan for them. Whether the church is behind it or not, that plan will be carried out.
No doubt about it. And that plan is unfolding in front of everyone's eyes.
Yeah.
And we got Christians that are not watching God work with the nation of Israel. He has brought them back into the land that was predicted by the prophets. and he's going to use them again. The church is going to be raptured, and then he's going to start the program with Israel again. And Israel one day in the Messianic kingdom will be the light to the Gentiles. They will be the client nation, and Jesus will rule through the Jewish nation. Like Deuteronomy said, they're not going to be the tail of the nations. They're going to be the head of the nations at that time. That's why we're Christian Zionists. We see a plan and a purpose for the Jewish people. They have a right to the land and a right to defend themselves. That's why we support them so much during this critical time.
Some good will come out of this tragedy that we've been watching here in the last week or two in Israel. God will bring some good out of it. We have to believe that, because right now what we're seeing in the media, it's pretty bloody. A lot of things are being broken. It's heartbreaking to watch.
It is. It's kind of like a bittersweet thing that you see in Revelation chapter 10, where John has to swallow the scroll, and it was sweet but bitter. And that's how I see eschatology and the view of the last days. I don't like to watch America implode with its immorality. Yeah. Nobody does. I don't want to live in a world that is full of anti-Semitism and psychopaths wanting to kill people and our streets littered with people running through and destroying and killing people. No one wants to live like that. But I also know this, because I know the scriptures and you know it and our audience knows it. It is a fulfillment of scripture.
Yeah.
And it means that we're getting closer
to
God wrapping this thing up and saying, I'm going to pull the plug. I'm going to take the church home. I'm going to finish judging the world. And then I'm going to set up my messianic kingdom. Because that's what we're looking forward to. That's the sweetness of going home and the kingdom being established. But it has to get worse before it gets better. So that's the bitterness about it.
Want to hear more? Check out Brandon Holthouse's Prophecy Updates, YouTube, Rumble, rockharborchurch.net. Brandon, thank you for all you do. We appreciate it so much, and it's been a joy to partner with you here over the last many years. So we're going to press on and keep looking up.
Thank you, Jan, for being the pioneer that's led the way for all of us.
We're going to continue this discussion in part two of our programming. Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to Mark Henry. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In a time characterized by fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. For centuries, questions have lingered both within and outside the church. Is modern Israel connected to the Israel of the Old Testament? Do God's past promises to Israel still apply now? And what does this mean for all Christians today? So many provocative questions are answered in Amir Sarfati's newest book, The Israel Decree, Understanding God's Unbreakable Covenant with His People and Their Land. The book provides compelling answers to many questions by meticulously tracing the historical, legal, and scriptural foundations of Israel's God-promised right to the land. If today's headlines don't make sense, learn the truth from prophecy teacher and Israeli, Amir Sarfati. Understand how today's Israel is a continuation of the ancient biblical nation, fulfilling a divine promise made millennia ago. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office and we'll help you understand the times from a biblical perspective.
And we've become so soft, so passive in this society. We don't even know who the bad guys are, who the good guys are, and all of the rhetoric. What I'm worried about is the younger generation with the dismantled families aren't able to see the dangers and the threats. America is in a very precarious situation, and Satan, who is the father of lies, is spreading lies and seducing our children.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of today's programming, Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael talk to Pastor Mark Henry. We're just glad someone is talking about our times, how late it is, and is concerned about eternal issues. Here is the balance of today's programming.
I've seen that you called the Ayatollah Khamenei the new Hitler of the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because he wants to expand. He wants to create his own project in the Middle East, very much like Hitler, who wanted to expand at the time. Many countries around the world and in Europe did not realize how dangerous Hitler was until what happened happened. I don't want to see the same events happening in the Middle East.
Israel and Iran are at war. At the time of writing, it hasn't been formalized, but after what happened in the pre-dawn hours of June the 13th, it's as good as done.
Tonight, Israel expanding its assault inside Iran as the conflict between the Middle East's two strongest military powers escalates. The two trading a barrage of attacks for a third day in a row after Israel launched what it called a preemptive attack. The U.S. helping Israel defend itself against retaliatory strikes. And just hours ago, President Trump telling ABC News the U.S. could be drawn into the conflict, but claiming that hasn't happened yet.
The explosions began at about 3 o'clock in the morning, again, local time in Tehran. In Jerusalem, the attack was dubbed Operation Rising Lion. Among the most important targets for Israel was a key uranium enrichment facility called Natanz, where Iran has worked to prepare enough uranium at the proper enrichment levels that it could create weapons-grade material on short notice. Images circulating on social media in the immediate aftermath of Israel's first wave of strikes showed Natanz in flames, with smoke billowing high into the sky.
What do you think drives that hatred? We have seen again and again Iran calling for the destruction, for the wiping off of the map of Israel. What drives that?
Personally, I think it's all spiritual. I think it's all demonically led at the root. If you look back to Deuteronomy 28, God basically told the people of Israel that if you follow my ways, you're going to be blessed. If you don't, here's all the things that are going to happen. And some of those things included being dispersed all over the world, being mistreated. But then God makes a point to say, but I will not make a full end to you. And then in several places, we read that Israel is going to come back into their own land again.
Welcome back to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. And joining us today from Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, is Pastor Mark Henry. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you guys.
We know things are unfolding rapidly, almost by the minute, in Israel right now. At the time of this recording, Tehran and most of Iran, most of their nuclear sites are being bombarded. The question is, should America get involved? But first off, what should Israel do to combat this threat?
Israel's got to finish the job. They're dismantling, of course, the leadership, the nuclear sites. All of these things need to be dismantled. And I think many Americans today have lost the significance of how important nuclear weapons are to keep the bad guys at bay. I mean, World War II ended because we dropped two atom bombs. And as a result of that, it ended the war. I mean, millions would have died. And this is the reality. If you have a state that has that and their ambition, and it's not a slogan, it is state policy to destroy America and destroy Israel. This has to be neutralized. And that's the reason they got to go all the way. This just can't be like you do in Vietnam or you do in the Korean War. America needs to go back. Israel needs to make sure they finish the job. Americans need to stand up and say, this has got to be a finished job. Unconditional surrender, everything dismantled. Yeah.
And it's like David Tall says. David always says, we live in a beautiful country, just in a really bad neighborhood. Their neighbors hate them. And so this is the chance for them to cut off the head of the snake, Iran, and bring at least a bit more peace and stability into their region so that they are not constantly being bombarded by rockets and missiles and other types of terrorist attacks. Now, the question is this. Now, what does the USA do? As the greatest ally to the Israeli people, what do we do?
Because social media is just blowing up and people are saying, conservatives are saying, hey, Trump's going to lose his base if America gets involved in this. We don't need and shouldn't be involved in this war. What are your thoughts, Mark?
I think we need to push it all the way and say, look, we are not going to stop in any way. We're going to help Israel finish this job. We need an unconditional surrender there. They need to dismantle, again, all of that nuclear stuff. It needs to be like literally gone through with a fine-tooth comb so that they cannot rebuild. And since World War II, America has never played to win. We always play these little games. It's too many lawyers involved in the decisions. When you go to war, when there's a bad guy, you got to finish the job. And so we need to finish the job. And not only that, this is really important, guys. Ezekiel 38 says that Israel's going to be in a state of peace with their neighbors before that war happens. And if Iran is there, and again, we play this like, oh, okay, we've hurt them enough, and you let them rebuild, the Houthis are going to be back, Hamas is going to be back. That can't be. We just know from the biblical reality is God's described them at peace. And so I would suggest to you what's going to happen, whether it's America, Israel, combination of the two of us and others, this thing's going to be cleaned up. There's going to be a state there that's going to be peaceful with Israel for a period of time. And I would suggest to you that Babylon's going to be rebuilt. Revelation talks about there in the last days, mystery Babylon, the religious element, but also the city of Babylon and all the trade and so forth. Wouldn't it be interesting? And I take it literal. I know many people say Babylon's Rome and so forth. But how do you take that, Josh?
I would take it as a literal Babylon being rebuilt. And this paves the way for that rebuilding. It opens up the resources that the Middle East has to bring more finances into the region, more trade into the region, more influence on the global scale. So it could really lead to this fulfillment of what we see ultimately destroyed in Revelation chapters 17, 18, and 19.
And when you start to think about that, America has done what with its enemies? Like you look back to our wars historically, whether it was Japan. Japan has this massive economy that the U.S. built after unconditional surrender. And then Germany the same way after World War I and after World War II. I just think we're poised again for another situation where a really bad actor, Iran, is dealt with, and then there's going to be this rebuilding and Babylon and so forth.
You mentioned Ezekiel 38, and we're watching social media, and many pastors, some that we're affiliated with, are saying we're seeing the setup for Ezekiel 38. And you just mentioned we're not there yet. What has to happen exactly before that scenario can even unfold?
It's more than just the players. A lot of times people talk about the players and their alignment. But the conditions on the ground have to be different in Israel. So, for example, in 38:14, God says, my people, Israel, are living securely. It talks about them not having any bars.
Unwalled villages.
Unwalled villages. So they are going to be at a state of total peace. That can't happen with Iran and a bomb. That's the reason I'm suggesting to you guys, if we are this close to this being fulfilled, this is going to be the end of Iran. This is going to be the rebuilding potentially of Babylon for later on fulfillment of Revelation. I think this is real setup. I think what has to happen is that America comes on the scene with Israel and says, you got to have unconditional surrender. We're going to go through everything here. You institute what we did with Japan. You appoint a general like Douglas MacArthur, super high capacity guy. You put in a temporary government. You help them write a constitution. And then in 2 years, you let them have an election. But this is important. People today have reactionary feelings and emotions and say things. You have to have an end game. And that's what we had in World War II. And that's what we need again in America. Not just reaction, not just getting involved in things, but how do we end this? And what does it look like in the end game?
Yeah. And I think there's two questions that we have to deal with. Many people are at an absolute aversion to war because as Americans, we have seen these forever wars go on and on and on. So number one, us getting involved with Iran and Israel, will that turn into a forever war? And number two, with the rebuilding of the Iranian nation and people, what makes that different than anything else we've done? What about the Christians that are there in Iran?
Yeah, you know, when I think about Afghanistan, for example, when we went there, there was no church there. If there were any Christians, they would have been in hiding and so forth. We've got somewhere between 300 and 500,000 Christians in Iran. Again, whether it's the Israelis leading this or the Americans leading this, someone needs to say, look, we're not just dismantling Iran, but there's a future. And this is a step forward. So you take the lead and help them. And I would suggest if I had President Trump sitting here, I'd say, President Trump, take one of our best leaders, put him in charge, go to some of the Christian leaders there and so forth. And you say, we're going to appoint a temporary government, help them write a constitution. 2 years, you have elections. You lay all of that out and let them go forward.
Ken, thoughts on forever wars?
Yeah, Americans are tired of war. If you look on social media and what people are talking about, they're sick of it. We looked at what happened in Afghanistan and we saw the tragic withdrawal that we did there. But getting back earlier to the point, not only making Iran secure, but look at what they're doing in Gaza. They have the chance to defeat Hamas and then redo that area too. So when you look at Ezekiel 38 being formed and Israel living in a secure area, eliminate Hamas, Hezbollah's out of the picture, and now Iran. Their immediate threats are gone because of the Abraham Accords. All the other Arab countries want to have peace.
Yeah, President Trump's trip over there just recently, that's one of the things he kept saying. You got to have normality. You got to have peace with Israel. And they're like, okay, but we got Iran over here. Now Iran's being dealt with. And this is creating a whole new stage like we've never experienced in my lifetime. My whole lifetime, Iran has been threatening America, has been threatening Israel, whether they're sending proxies or whether they're sending terrorists, or we're going to get the bomb and we're going to deliver that. Praise God, it's being dismantled.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to me to think through all of this. This has happened in less than a week. Israel's been planning for this for 15, 20, 25 years to deal with these things. They were extremely strategic in their attacks. They took out the generals. They took out the nuclear scientists. They took out the top brass. They took out the propaganda machine. And now everything else is falling into place. And if America joins with them and takes out the nuclear facilities, we, as we've been talking, have a very, very different Middle East. It's night and day different than what it was even 2 weeks, 2 months ago. Things are changing at such a rapid pace that the scriptures are becoming clearer and clearer. It now makes sense to think, okay, there can be a time of peace before the Ezekiel 38 war. There can be a rebuilt Babylon in the book of Revelation. All these things are proving that God is faithful and we can trust him and his words and his promises.
That's why I really have an issue with conservatives and others that don't want to take care of this issue, because what we're seeing is violence and lawlessness on a scale never seen before. Iran is the largest state sponsor of terror. They are responsible for tens of thousands of deaths across the world, but especially Americans. So if we don't combat this, if we don't go after them and eliminate this threat, it's just going to continue.
I think we also have to make a distinction. I think we've touched around it, but there is a difference between the Ayatollahs and the regime and the Iranian people, right?
Absolutely.
It's not that all Iranians are bad people. It's not that all Iranians are buying into the terroristic tendencies of the regime. It's, as the Ayatollah was put in place decades ago, that the oppression has come on. Before the Ayatollah ran and was in power, Iran was a free nation that was actually flourishing. And then the regime changed and we have absolute chaos.
Yeah, we saw in 2009 when we had the chance to overthrow the Ayatollahs, President Obama, what did he do? He not only didn't support him, but he sent over a pallet full of gold and cash to the mullahs to keep them going. We're responsible for some of what we're seeing right now. I think our prayer is that if these nuclear sites are eliminated and the Ayatollah is removed, that the people will rise up and form their own government like you were talking about.
Yeah, this is a unique opportunity in history in the Middle East. And I just think we're living in amazing times to watch it literally unfold right before our eyes. Christians need to come back. Listen, God has told us Israel's going to be in peace. Yeah. That's a fact. Question is, how do you get there? And this seems to be the plan of how we get there.
Well, we're going to transition here, Mark, and I want you to listen to a clip and then I'll get your take on it.
Trump immigration authorities launched a series of targeted raids throughout the city of Los Angeles today. And tonight, a massive protest is taking place outside the LA headquarters of ICE.
We are having an administration that's targeting peaceful protests.
We haven't seen any violence happening here.
There's some yelling going on, but it doesn't seem as kinetic.
I haven't seen anyone pull out a weapon.
You have a number of, it appears, peaceful protesters. We didn't see any weapons or sticks or anything.
There wasn't anything like a riot happening.
True peaceful protesters who believe in a cause, who are doing this the right way.
These are peaceful people that want to get their message across.
Just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn.
A message today in all 50 states, millions across the country from New York City to California protesting what they see as an unconstitutional push by President Trump to expand the power of his office. They call the protest No Kings. More than 2,000 cities here in the U.S. and across the globe taking part in these protests today. It all comes after days of tense protest over immigration raids and President Trump's deployment of the military to Los Angeles.
The protests were mostly peaceful, but police say a pedestrian was hit by a car during the march. We also witnessed a brief scuffle between demonstrators and Trump supporters.
I'm getting called out on this because I called Donald Trump a wannabe dictator. It's because he is. The governor's being mean and the governor's speaking out on that. Well, maybe it's time for us to be a little meaner.
Welcome back to Understanding the Times. Our guest today is Pastor Mark Henry, Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Mark, not only are we seeing violence and lawlessness all across the world, but we're seeing it right here in the States. And immigration is a hot topic right now. And we're seeing this administration and law enforcement, especially ICE and other agencies, trying to do something about it? Should we even try to remove some of these people out of here?
Absolutely. Think about, what is the purpose of government? God created government to create order, not chaos, to remove chaos and to protect its citizens. That's why God created human government. And government carries a sword, according to Romans chapter 13, to deal with bad guys. That's their job. Praise God, we have not, as President Trump has been called, a dictator. No, we actually have someone trying to enforce the law. That's not a dictator. That means you're submitting to the laws of the land, and that's exactly what needs to take place. And quite honestly, for Christians, you need to read through the Old Testament. When Israel had porous borders and people came in, they marauded the people, they looted the people. That's been true all through history. That's why you need governments, you need boundaries. These things are really important. Praise God, we've got people working on it.
Especially when we're seeing, they're targeting the violent criminals first and foremost. Yeah. If we don't get them out of here, I don't know how anyone can be against that.
And it's unacceptable to attack federal agents, police officers. They need to be prosecuted to the highest level of the law.
And our elected leaders are involved in it. And we're seeing elected leaders creating some of this violence.
And that's treason, actually.
Exactly.
And if you look at state laws on treason and federal laws on treason, I think that the governor of California has stepped over the line. That's up for the federal legal teams to look at, but it is significant.
Our governor here in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Ken, you had a long career in law enforcement. What would you do when there was an illegal alien in the country? Would you deport them? Would you arrest them? Would you deal with the problem?
They were arrested. ICE was called to the county jail, and they were picked up, processed, and if they were involved in crimes, they had a trial. They either went to jail or they were deported.
Okay, so what constitutes an illegal alien?
Someone that comes into the country that's not a citizen, that didn't go through the process of becoming a legal citizen. That's what you have to do to be a citizen in this country. And they did it for decades. My grandfather came over on the boat. He was at Ellis Island. He had to go through the process of becoming a citizen. But now we have the mindset that anyone can just come into the country at any time. They have all the same rights as an American citizen, and that is unconstitutional.
I've traveled all around the world. I go to another country. I assume I have no rights. Why? I'm not a citizen of that country.
Exactly.
And I've looked at moving to some other countries to do missionary work and advance the cause of the gospel. One country, Switzerland, in order to go there, you have to have $5 million in assets. You have to be a doctor or a lawyer. You have to bring something to that society. And no one's attacking them. No one's saying they're horrible, evil dictators. Or you go around the rest of Europe or South America. Every country has laws about how you come in, how you exit. And if you're going to move there with the kind of assets that you have to have as an individual, America has been very gracious. This is absolutely lawlessness.
Exactly. We just got back from Australia and New Zealand. They knew exactly where we were, what we were doing, how long we were going to stay. And I talked to people over there that are citizens. Yeah, you want to become a citizen here? Just like you said, what are you going to bring to the table? You better have a business or something that's going to add to their society.
Or you're not welcome. You can't get in.
Exactly.
I looked at going to New Zealand.
Yeah, I'd love to go to Mexico and demand all my rights, free health care, free housing, all that. And that's what we're doing. Yeah. It's unheard of.
Now imagine going to Mexico, burning a Federale car and standing on top of it, holding an American flag. How do you think that would go in Mexico?
Right.
Or you name the country.
Yeah. If you're not shot, you're deported immediately. There's going to be law and order that takes place there. Why can't we do that here? We can't continue to make lawlessness the norm. We can't be importing people via airplane on the American taxpayers' dime and to integrate them into the nation to be citizens. That is illegal. That can't be taken out.
No, not only it cannot be, it should not be allowed. And America, you need to rise to the occasion, assume responsibility as citizens. And if you're a follower of Jesus, we are the best citizens there are because the Bible commands us to honor those who are in authority, to lead by example, and not to allow evildoers to hurt other people. You know, one of the elements of the man code is real men protect others. And we've become so soft, so passive in this society. We don't even know who the bad guys are, who the good guys are, and all of the rhetoric. What I'm worried about is the younger generation with the dismantled families aren't able to see the dangers and the threats. America is in a very precarious situation, and Satan, who is the father of lies, is spreading lies and seducing our children.
We all expected literal all hell to break loose and riots and chaos to happen this past weekend because of the No Kings protest. So let's listen to this clip and then discuss what happened.
They got their C's, chaos, confusion. collusion, corruption, and cronyism, and we got ours, the courts, the court of public opinion, the Congress, and the courage of this community. Because this community understands how to fight back. No one is going to save us but ourselves, but it takes courage. So my friends, rather than yield on bended knee, we stand up. We all care. We all act. We do it together in solidarity. So I want to end with a quote from the father of our last speakers, specifically Martin Luther King's final book. He wrote, "Where do we go from here, chaos or community?" Well, Philly, you are the community to this president's chaos. And together, we build a future of opportunity and justice for all. Hope over fear, aspiration over anger, the promise of America for each and every American. That is what we are fighting for today. So I say, the people united will never be divided.
Well, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Pastor Josh here with Ken Michael and Pastor Mark Henry. Question is this, guys. Is Trump truly trying to be an authoritarian king?
Well, like he said, after that protest, it must have worked because he's not a king and he's still the president of the United States. So what was the goal of this? To have a protest to say that we're under the authority of a king like we would have been in Europe? I mean, it didn't make any sense, but we saw it happen all over the country.
Yeah, over 1,500 protests around the country. I've seen as high as 2,000. But we were anticipating what we saw in L.A. just a week earlier in the burning and looting and so forth. Praise God, that didn't happen. And people have the right to speak and to peacefully assemble and let their voice be heard. That's what the Constitution says. But when you listen to the rhetoric there of Randy, and she quotes Martin Luther King, are we going community or chaos? I think if she actually read Martin Luther's book, he says, we got to go community. We got to go love. We got to go peace, not chaos. And then she says, we are now the people of chaos, chaos, chaos for Trump. That is demonic. Yeah. God is the author, not of confusion, not of chaos. That's Satan. God is the author of order, order in the family, order in government, order in the church, order in the world, order in the universe. That is a demonic statement. And what concerns me is that I know Christians that were there and right on their webpage, Josh, it said, no kings is a day of defiance. Yep. Satan is the defiant one.
Yep.
We are not a defiant people. We are a people, hupotasso, submit. That concept is everywhere in the scripture of the Christian life. We submit to God. We submit to the authorities that God brings over us, whether moms and dads, government officials. We submit to law officers in an organized, godly scenario that has been established for us. And defiance is not, you don't need to get thousands of people and say, we're going to be chaotic and we're going to defy. That is demonic.
Yeah. And I think we all just need a reminder from civics class as to what America truly is. We are not a democracy and we are not a monarchy. We are a democratic republic, which means that there is democratic ways in which we vote. There are democratic means by which our elected officials come into office, but it is not a true democracy. It is not the rule of the people by the people. It is controlled and not chaotic. Mark, what are your thoughts there?
Constitutional republic means that there are laws in place and it's not just everyone coming together and automatically 51% get other ways. There's laws that are put in place. The president has to submit to them. That's why he has gone to court and has paid lots of money in lawyer's fees over his lifetime. Everybody is under the law. Law enforcement is under the law. So that's what a constitutional republic does. And then in our constitutional republic, there is an election process. So when they're talking about how we're going to be the people of chaos and confusion, and we're for democracy, just remember, Randy, President Trump won the majority vote. That's the democratic process and the electoral college vote. That's the democratic process within a constitutional republic. So when you say, for example, there was a protest right next to our house, and there was a gentleman holding a sign and said, Veterans for Democracy opposing President Trump. He's opposing exactly what took place through the democratic process within the constitutional republic. What does he want? Chaos and disorder.
And it seems like most of these protests, they don't really have an agenda. It's just against the president. That's what I see all over social media. There aren't any specific areas that they're protesting or any specific policies. But when you look at what Randy has done to the education system, like you said earlier, that is demonic. She is in total favor of changing children's gender. And you go right down the line, boys playing against girls in sports. This is a way to flip the culture. And I think that's their main goal, is to change the culture, this Judeo-Christian values that America was founded on.
Absolutely. And that's why I say this is a satanic attempt. Because when you say we're for defiance, we're for chaos, if you look, they were supported by well over 200 organizations across the United States. I've read that they have about $2.1 billion designated to them, and all of them are by groups that are specifically opposed to the Judeo-Christian worldview. Again, it's rooted in a spiritual darkness.
And this isn't going away anytime soon, folks. Well, our guest today has been Pastor Mark Henry, Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Mark, how can people get in touch with you?
The best way is just to search Mark Henry and you'll see Revived Church, Mark Henry Ministries, 412 Church. It'll come up everywhere.
And look for us on our Thursday night events too on his website. Mark, I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you, and God bless you and your ministry.
We'll sing forever, bowing before you.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. While our times are stressful, remember that we have a front row seat to the last act, and each chapter comes right out of the Bible, allowing all things to fall into place.